It's indeed a privilege to be with you, and I brought this little stand down here because when you're way up there, it seems like you're so far away from the people. That's perfectly okay. But I am indeed glad to be here in Idaho another time. This is my annual trip, the once-a-year trip to the West. And as you know, things are quite busy in Washington. Now speak for your congressmen and your representatives. I do live in Maryland, so I have them also. The District of Columbia doesn't have full representation, so I can't speak for them. But as you can know, the times are difficult in our country and in the world. But I'm glad to be here that there's still some of us still holding up the bloodstained banner. And that we still have a heart and a mind to serve the Almighty Creator and to serve Him with a perfect heart and a willing mind. And so good to see so many of you here on this Sabbath morning and to hear what the Father is going to say to us today. I was a bit challenged with the theme because it can be rhetorical in some respects, and I'm glad that there are others during the week who pretty much took different parts and pieces of the theme. I was a little worried that by the time they get to the end of the week that they would take all the scriptures. But they did not, so thank God for a Bible that has lots of word in it. Amen. Lots of scripture and lots of things that are relevant to us and that can become even more relevant as time goes on. The Bible, despite its age, if you will, is still relevant to mankind. Human nature hasn't changed since Adam. And what Adam and Eve gave us, they messed us up. And we've been messed up for a very long time. I'm not sure if any of you have heard me speak before, but I often say that when Adam and Eve sinned, they did more than just what we sometimes talk about, but they messed up our whole hearing. They messed up our whole belief structure. They destroyed the desires. Our desires are totally out of whack. I'm talking about the natural man, not born-again believers. We have to transition as we are born-again believers to be constantly converted to God's way away from man's way. But when Adam sinned, they messed up our hearing, so we couldn't hear. Our belief structure therefore messed up because hearing comes from the Word of God. And you can't hear God. You can't hear right. You can't believe right. And when your belief structure is messed up, your desires are whacked out. And when your desires are out of whack, your behavior, your actions follow your desires. This is why we are the way we are. But thank God for a Savior. And see, the thing about it, when they messed up and we mess up, your actions then ruin your relationships with God. And they also ruin your relationships with your brother and your sister and our fellow man, with our neighbors, if you will, family, friends, and everybody else on the planet. This is why the world is the way it is. And we all have the same sin problem. But God is merciful. Anyway, our theme today is our theme for the camp meeting has been following the Father's footsteps. And as I was beginning to say, sometimes that can be a little challenging because you're trying to, I'm asking God to give me what is relevant and what will meet the needs of the people. It's no good for me to just get up here and talk. But I believe that the word is life-changing, that it has impact. And I know that some people will say, I've heard it, and I want to stop people when they say this. I've even heard people say, you could read the Bible until you're blue in the face, or words to that effect, and then they go on and say something else, nonsense. Even if you don't understand fully what's in the Bible, the reading of the word still will change you. There's things you may never understand in the scriptures, but you need to read the scriptures. Because in the scriptures, I know I have eternal life. Amen. And I know that it's through the word that I have empowerment. I have everything that I need has been given to me. Everything that pertains to life and godliness has been given to me, has been given to us. So that we can make it, that we can be successful in this Christian journey, not just looking after the eternal, but also even in this life, even now. The problem is many of us don't know what has been promised to us, what God has given us. Why? Because we haven't read it in the Word. So read your Bibles. I go some places and people come to church with no Bibles. Doesn't make sense to me. Then others leave their Bible at church all week and go home without their sword. I'm not sure, and I'm not here to beat on anybody, but you need your Bible. Your Bible is the most precious resource you have. Use it. Somebody said, I remember a lady used to give this message, eat the little book. I think it's in Jeremiah, where eat the little book is sweet when it went in and bitter in the belly, but you need to eat the little book. I didn't get here up here to say all that, but what I want to remind you is that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that you and I, the man, the woman of God, may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. This is our game plan. This is our guidebook. This is our greatest resource. Young people, this is the thing that will get you where you need to go. Older folks, this will continue to sustain you from wherever you are now to wherever you are going. Amen. And I'm not assuming anybody has reached their destination yet. I want to read Ephesians, a couple of scriptures here. Well, it's not a couple, it's a few scriptures. And just to lay a little groundwork, and then I will thank you, Bob, for praying, but I'm going to pray again. You can't pray too much. Right now, I need some help. Amen. Ephesians 5:1 reads, and this is a very simple verse, and I've done an eclectic approach, and so I've taken different scriptures that are not necessarily in the same context, but it goes along with following the Father's footsteps. In Ephesians 5:1, the scripture says, and I'm reading from a Restoration Study Bible. I saw somebody else's laying around, and I just realized mine has lost its spine. So you see that? That's what happens when you use your Bible. And so I saw somebody else here, one around here somewhere, but yours is safe, right? I'm not going to touch your Bible. But it reads thus, be ye therefore followers of Elohim as dear children. Those of you reading King James will say, be ye followers of God as dear children. Keep that in mind. And also in Luke 9:23. I'm trying to lay a progression here, and we'll see what the Almighty will do. Luke 9:23 says, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his torture stake, or yours says cross, daily, and follow me. Turn to 1 Peter, I believe it's 1 Peter 2:21. And here's Peter speaking to the saints. For even here unto were ye called, because Messiah also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should, what? Follow his steps. And lastly, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Messiah. So my word to you today is follow. Let us pray. Father, we come before you once again in the name of the risen Savior, in the name of Yahshua HaMashiach. Father, we thank you for the privilege of joining with you, convening with you, having a holy convocation with your people on the day that you have made, the day that you sanctified, the day that you set apart. The day that you use to memorialize your glory and your creation. Therefore, Father, we honor you, we glorify you, we magnify you, we lift up your name. Father, as we are in here in your presence, speak to us this day. Open our ears, Father. Give us hearing ears and eyes that see, hearts that perceive. Help us to understand what you are saying to us this day. And I pray, Father, that your words will be rooted and grounded deep into our spirit, and to our man, our God, our whole being, that we will just be so saturated, Father, with the word that you speak to us this day. I thank you, Father, because I know that your word will not go out void, but it will accomplish the thing whereunto you have sent it. So therefore speak, Father, to your people. Speak to me and through me. I submit myself into your hands. I surrender myself to you that I may follow you and you alone. And I pray for your people, Father, they'll be blessed and strengthened. Be it unto us, Father, according to your word. I ask it in Yahshua's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Follow. Praise God. Hallelujah. As we look at that word, we may be a little challenged to understand even what it means. For most of us, we speak English, and so it becomes sometimes the very words we use. And I sometimes find myself a little challenged because we will use a word many times because it's just what we use. When you say love, people, you just have a notion in your head, but then you ask somebody to define it, and we stumble and we bumble around because we really don't have a definition in our minds. So just to give a proper platform, so make sure we're all on the same page. To follow in the basic dictionary definition means to go or come after. And we can easily understand that in the context of someone leading and then the others follow. You ever see a mother duck with her ducklings? They follow until they get to an age or to the size where they don't need to follow anymore. And I think some of us are like ducks in some respects. There's times when we follow, other times we just go on our own way. But also to follow may also mean, depending on the context, to obey, as in you follow the instructions. This is something that a lot of people have difficulty with. A lot of young people have difficulty with it. And if you have difficulty as a youngster, you will have difficulty as an adult following instructions. Some people refuse to even read the instructions, much less follow them. That's why I refer to your Bible. Your Bible is your instruction. And if you don't read it, you won't know what to do. You will not know how to handle life. You will not know how to do things. Let me put it this way, in the godly context. We're doing a series in our church on relationships. And everybody has needs. We all have needs. And I really can't kind of break it down to you in my full memory. And those of you who may be psychologists and all those sort of things, you may understand Maslow's, what is the hierarchy of human needs and all that sort of thing. I'm not going to mess with that now, but everybody has needs, whether they're physical, you have spiritual needs. You have relational needs. You have financial needs. You have a wide range of emotional and social needs. And when you don't meet those needs in God's way, and the way that he has provided, you end up sinning. Everybody has needs, but we don't meet them in God, and we meet them outside of God. That is what is sin, because you end up transgressing the law and other principles that God has placed in Scripture. So our needs can be met, but they need to be met in the context that God had prepared and planned for us as humans to meet those needs. But many of us have difficulty following instructions. We have difficulty doing what is asked. That's why it's important to follow and to learn how to follow. Another context would be to that when you follow something, as you are following me now as I speak, is that you observe, you take note of. If you will, you comprehend. If somebody might say, do you follow me? Do you understand? Are you able to track? Are you able to keep with me, if you will? You're not walking behind me up here, but you are listening and you're trying to follow me. And hopefully I'm not taking you all around Robin Hood's barn, but you're able to actually, it's something cogent that actually makes sense in your mind that you can understand. Because why? Because you do follow me. And the thing about it is, I mentioned and I've just alluded to, is that many times we are not good followers, whether it's by instruction or by listening. We struggle, I said, say, with even simple instructions. Anybody has children? Sometimes a simple thing. Can you, young people, can you put the dishes in the dishwasher? Can you wash the dishes after you use them? Simple instructions. Why is it so hard? Now, of course, none of you have that problem. That's just a problem we have back here. That's just in my house. Why is it so hard? And sometimes even as adults, we rebel against the most trifling things, the things that shouldn't even bother us. We find ourselves, we bristle and it's almost like built into our nature to resist it.
when it's actually nothing that should be that much resisted. It's a simple thing. It's just if we would reconfigure our brains, recalibrate our thinking, it would make it so much easier. Sometimes just because it's an authoritative figure, we have to find a reason not to. That's the natural man rearing its ugly head. And then sometimes we have the audacity to look right at Scripture and choose to ignore the word. Where it says you have ought, go to your brother, go to your sister, clear it up. And even if you knew that they have ought, you're not the one with the ought, but they got ought against you. Leave your gift at the altar. How many of us don't do it? You may carry on grudges and little things that started out as a minor thing that over a time period builds up into a large heap. Why? Because we don't follow what is in Scripture. Now in Ephesians 5, as we've read that already, it says, it tells us, and I'll repeat it in your hearing. It says, be ye therefore followers of Elohim, or as God, as dear children. There is a way that seemeth right. I think Proverbs Solomon may have written this and said, but the end thereof is death. I want you to know that not every path leads to the same destination. I don't care what people tell you. Not all the paths take you to the place you want to go. So you have to be sure of the path. There's a broad path and there's a narrow path. Look for the narrow path. That's the one that's going to take you where you want to go. But there is a way that seemeth right. And I was reading the Judges not too long ago where they said there was no judge in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. That is anarchy. That is not the way that you want to live your life. But the fact is that everyone will follow something, even if it's your own self. That's a dangerous combination there, you leading yourself. If God isn't leading you, you will definitely end up in the ditch. I have a term I often tell people that says that you are programmed because of Adam and Eve. You and I, we are programmed to self-destruct. If I leave you to yourself, just look around you around the world, people left to themselves, you self-destruct. And not only that, you destroy other people along with you. There's a lot of collateral damage. So young people, you have to realize that if you don't grab a hold of the word of God, if you don't live this thing, that you are programmed to automatically self-destruct. You are not immune. Without Christ in your life, the human nature rules and controls. And the wages of sin is still death. But the gift of God is eternal life. So you want to know that you are following the true and living God. I think Paul also tells us in Romans 6:16 that you are servants to whom you obey. Whatever you follow, whether it is your flesh or whether it is the enemy personified, if you will, whether it's other people not living a godly life, wherever you give yourself to, you become the servant of that thing. I believe somebody else put it another way. Whatever you, I don't know if it was you identify with, I'm trying to think how they said it. But the fact is, whatever you submit to is what controls you. So you want to be aware, then you want to be conscious. You're not just on autopilot. You want to be sure that you submit to the Almighty. Hallelujah. As dear children, and it says here, you walk in love. That's verse 2. As Messiah also has loved us. I think there was one of the lessons this week talked about that love factor, or one of the messages. And the same way the Messiah has given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to Yahweh for a sweet-smelling Savior. So that if you're following God, hallelujah, you learn to love one another the same. If you say you love God, John, 1 John tells us that if you say you love God and you don't love your brother, he says straight out, you're a liar. So Ephesians tells us to follow God as dear children and walking in love. When I looked up the word followers there in Ephesians, gave us a little bit of a different connotation. Those of you who are into reading Strong's and looking up these words, and that's a good thing actually, so you can check out what the original Greek had in it and also be able to see how that fits in with what is the English that we use now. But the followers in this context was number 3402 in Strong's, and the head of relations, it relates to being imitators. So here we are creating his image. We need to imitate God. How will you know what to imitate God if you don't know what he says? That's why your Bible is so important. You can't imitate him if you don't know what he's like. You have to know whom to follow and whom to imitate. Because if you imitate the wrong thing, you'll end up in the wrong place. And your goal for all of us is to be like him, right? Our goal and our focus is to be Christ-like. To be formed, renewed in the knowledge of our minds, to have our whole person, if you will, our spirit, mind, soul, body, all the combination parts thereof, whatever way they are connected to each other, that they will be fully become more and more Christ-like. The fact is, you get to know the Father through his Son. And you get to know him through the Word. I don't want to beat a dead horse. But knowing God and following him are directly related. And you cannot follow God if you don't know him. And you can't follow the Father if you don't follow the Son. Savior said, he is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. We used to sing a song, he's too high, you can't get over him. He's too low, you can't get under him. He's too wide, you can't get around him. You must come in at the door. Anybody comes any other way is a thief and a robber. You're not coming the right way. So you got to come through Christ. Hallelujah. Let's talk a little bit about what following looks like. In Luke 9, we read the scripture, but I read it in your hearing. My dad would say that sometimes he just reads the scripture and says, let the scripture just speak to you itself. But Luke 9:23 says, and he said to them all, if any man, and that includes women too, any man, any boy, any girl, any woman, will come after me, let him or her deny himself, herself, and take up her, his torturous stake daily. Sometimes, and follow me. And sometimes I think women feel excluded because of he, him. But you're included. You're part of mankind, so you don't get exonerated. You don't get out from under the pressure. But if you really want to follow Messiah, if you want to really come after him, and I think somebody wrote a book, not a fan, but a follower. If you really want to be a disciple, not everybody wants to be a disciple. Because discipling requires discipline. Whether you're self-disciplined or whether you have to be disciplined by somebody else, discipline is not always fun. And I prefer to discipline myself on the front end rather than to be disciplined on the back end. And no pun intended. But I prefer to have discipline myself so that I don't have to endure unnecessary chastening, particularly for my own mistakes and for my own errors. Because if I can live for God on the front end, if I can put it before him at the beginning and have discipline, brought my flesh under subjection, I'd rather endure the pain on the front end than on the back end. It works better for me. Now, some of you like beatings. There must be some who like to be spanked and to be chastened. I'm not one of those. I was not a perfect child. But I learned that transgressions bring pain. And broken laws bring curses. And so I made up my mind that to know and to obey. I didn't say I did it all right. I know I didn't because I had enough spankings. And I do believe in corporal punishment. Silence, right? Yes. The rod, well, you don't destroy the child. If you don't use the rod, you will destroy them. And our society has created all kinds of gimmicks and ways that have created a society of monsters. I look over this side. I'm not looking at that side. Y'all not monsters. But our society has created a situation where the parent of the child cannot even discipline the child. And I tell people this all the time. I do believe in corporate punishment. But the point of the matter is this. You don't wait till you're mad and you live it. Because it didn't say kill the child. It says to you spare the rod, you spoil the child. And there's a time for everything. But many times we get so out of context and we get into our humanistic world, which has distorted and perverted so much of what is in scripture that people don't even know what is right. But what I'm saying is that the discipline factor And as you grow out of childhood and young teenage years and young adulthood, you still have to live a disciplined life. The penalty and the pain of transgression, I think, is even worse as you grow older. There's things that if you mess up, it lasts a lifetime. Yes, people may forgive you and God may have forgiven you, but the pain and the results of that transgression, whatever it might be, can last a lifetime. You spend a whole lifetime regretting and feeling the pain. Whereas if you had learned to discipline yourself and live according to scripture, you could avoid some of that. Now, I know that man is born of a woman and is up but a few days and full of trouble. You're going to have trouble. Don't think that your life is going to be trouble free. But let the trouble come from the enemy and let be persecuted for Christ's sake, not because of your own mistakes, looking right at God and doing something opposite. That's why you need to follow. If you really want to follow Messiah, he says, deny yourself. That means give yourself up. You do not have a claim on yourself as a believer. The non-believers, they don't even really have a claim on themselves either, because the devil has already claimed them. And what we're doing as people of God is we are taking people out of darkness through the help of the Holy Spirit to bring them into the light. Hallelujah. To have them transition from the world of darkness into the kingdom of light. In that process, we have to deny ourselves, give ourselves up, solely surrender. And he says, the way it's written here in Luke, he says, not only that, take up your cross, take up your stake, pick up your cross. And guess what? You got to carry your own cross. See, many of us would like to have somebody else pick up our cross. You have to carry your own cross, whatever it is. Your cross may not be my cross, but you have a cross. Your cross may not be your neighbor's cross, but you have a cross. Are you willing to pick it up? Are you willing to take that cross and bear it? He went to the cross for you. And he says, not only that, pick up your cross, pick up your torture stake. I like that one. Because it has a different picture, you know, of a torture stake, and you being tied to the stake or hung to the stake. But carry that cross of yours and then follow him. And interesting enough, when I looked up the follow here in Strong's, it means to accompany him. So that you're walking with them. You're walking, if you will, even with the Holy Spirit, Paracletos, walking beside you. But you are the one carrying the cross. It was a word, I didn't even spell it out here, akoutheo. Akoloutheo. And then at the pediment, you are accompanying. He's not leaving you alone. He said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. But you still have to carry that cross and follow, accompany, walk with him as he walks with you. That's what following looks like. You're not alone. And you can't afford to just walk away and leave him, because if you leave him, you're out there by yourself. Deny yourself. What are you willing to give up? What are you willing to turn loose? What are you willing to say it, repeat it, for lack of a better word, to give up? You willing to give up your past? Are you willing to give up your pride? Are you willing to give up your fear? Are you willing to give up your stubbornness? Are you willing to give up your grudges, your bad feelings, your malice, any of the works of the flesh? And everybody has had some of them, because Paul said it in a way he told the Corinthians, and such were some of you. Such were some of us. I won't put it just on you, but all of us have something that we have to lay down, we have to deny. Even if you've been a goody-goody two-shoes born in the church, you still have to deny yourself, give yourself up, take up your cross, take up your stake, and follow, accompany him. In that process, you need to follow his steps. And we read this in 1 Peter 2:21. For even here unto were ye called, because Messiah also suffered for us, leaving us an example that what? That we should follow. And this was also the same root word, but it meant the same thing: to accompany, to follow in his steps, to walk in the steps that he has already laid out. Now, interesting enough, the Savior didn't walk through his own thing. He did what the Father instructed him. If you look in John 17:4, he made it very clear. He was not out doing his own thing. He reported to the Father. He says here, I have glorified thee on the earth. And listen to this. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. The Savior wasn't on his own agenda. His agenda was the agenda of his Father. And likewise, we want to have God's agenda. And when we follow Christ, we will have God's agenda. We want to follow him because why? Because he is our example. And he spoke to, and I think in John 14, the 10th chapter, he said, believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. Again, he didn't come doing his own thing. He says, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Later on in other parts of John, he also talks about how that apart from him, we can do nothing. That's why we need to follow him. We have to keep his commandments. Hallelujah. In John 8, he tells us that we have to continue in his word. Hallelujah. In order to follow him, this goes back to reiterating what I said about the word. He says this, verse 28 of what is John 8. Then said Yahshua unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he and that I do, what did I say before? Nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. The Savior knew how to follow instructions, knew how to follow his Father. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. We need to be like him. I said, our whole desire is to be like Christ, to imitate him, to be Christ-like. He was the utmost example of obedience. I don't think there's anybody has been more obedient than Christ. Amen. He knew no sin. Amen. Praise God. And then Paul picks it up in 1 Corinthians 11:1. He says, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Messiah. Your Bibles will say, I also am of Christ. Here again, we have that same word. Be ye imitators of me. Let me live a life, an example, so that you can follow my pattern. Now, mind you, my father always said, when we used to give people the right hand of fellowship, he says, don't look at people, but see Christ. Put your eyes on the Savior, not on people, because people can fail you. But Paul here says, imitate me the same way that I have copied Christ. And why does he say that? Because he has lived the life. He's fought a good fight. He's finished his course. He later on says, and hence therefore is a crown laid up for him. Hallelujah. In the kingdom. But there's a benefit of following through with Christ, following your Savior, following the Almighty Yahweh. Hallelujah. Because there's perfect safety in being in his will. I'll have you to know that life works better when you're in God's will. There's another scripture in Proverbs which says that the way of a transgressor is hard. So if you think life is already hard, be a transgressor and you really see what hard is. And many of us are, I will say this, and I know we sing a song, though, what a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. And sometimes that's one factor, but many times because we have our own self-inflicted wounds. Because why? Because we don't follow him. We don't make it a definite point of a determined, intentional effort to follow with Christ, to walk with him, to walk in his ways, to follow what he says, hallelujah, to follow what's in scripture, hallelujah. We get sidetracked. Many times we listen to the wrong voice. I think we heard it this week, those of you were in some of the sessions. God wants us to follow his voice. And his voice has been written down. What he has said in his word has been written in the word. But he looks to see whether we're going to follow his voice. But we get sidetracked. As I said before, our hearing is messed up. Sometimes we don't hear God's voice correctly. But we need to tune and recalibrate our hearing so that we hear God's voice. We follow the right voice. And many of us have walked down the wrong path. We've turned. When we got to the juncture, we went left when we should have gone right. We missed our turn. And sometimes you have to come back and redo your first works over. Have you missed your turn? As you look down through your own life, Have you been a good follower? And I say this as I approach to closing. The problem is that many of us, I said this before, are not good followers. And I question you, can you say like Paul, follow me? Wherever you are in life, young, old, middle age, can you say like Paul, follow me, imitate me? Not only do what I say, but do what I've done. Can you say that? This is personal examination. And I want to say this, that if people were to follow you right now, where would they end up? One, in the city, or two, in the lake? Now, some of y'all didn't get that. If people were to follow you right now, right where you are, where you've been, where would they end up? Would they end up in the city, or would they end up in the lake? You know the lake. There's a city, and there's a lake. Now, I'm not talking about something out in the forest where the birds are humming and the bees, I guess, hum and the birds are singing. We're talking about Gehenna. We're talking about a lake of fire. You have a choice, the city or the lake. This is the litmus test, and only you can answer that. If the way you are right now, and this is why that we have opportunities to come to God. If others were to follow you right now, where would they end up? So I ask you, who are you following? And I ask you this also, what path are you on? The first scripture I read asks us to be followers of God as dear children. The master himself said that if you want to come after him, you need to deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow him. Paul lets us know that we should be followers of him even as he follows the master. I ask you this, are you willing for him to lead you? That covers every area of your life. Are you willing to follow him? And I say this again, in every area of your life, even in the hidden places and the secret corners of your life, are you willing to open those up to the master, to the savior, so that he can lead you and he can guide you? This is Quinny. I want us to sing this song as I'm going to open up the altar now, but there's a song that I found in the worship and songs. We've done it so we can put it on the screen. Are you willing to follow God even places where you don't want to go? And I say that because many times God calls us to different work and different things. And many times we are not in our flesh willing to go those places or do those things. I believe the number is 324 in what is worship and songs, and they can bring that up on the screen. I'm now going to open up the altar, give you opportunity for prayer, to pray and or to be prayed for. And I mean, just the last thing that really rivets in my mind is that last few things I brought to your attention, that if others were to follow you right now, where would they end up? Would they be headed to the city or to the lake? Where he leads me, I will follow.